Sunday, the 11th of November, 2018, Service of Remembrance. Sermon title, Great Love. Bible reading, John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
The reading is taken from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you my servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Manny. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, on this most poignant of days, we pray that you would open your word to us, that we would continue the legacy that has been given to us of freedom and peace laid down by the lives of those who love this country, but also who love democracy around the world. Bless us in this word, we pray. Amen. During the training exercise, the lieutenant was driving down a muddy track on the road, encountered another car stuck in the mud, and he spotted in the car that it was the colonel. And the colonel was clearly very angry, red-faced, he was very annoyed. And the lieutenant thought, well, I better go over and see if I can help the old chap. So he goes over and he says, "Sir, is your car stuck, sir?" And the colonel looks out, spies the lieutenant, grabs the keys out of the ignition, goes over to the lieutenant's car, gets in the driver's seat, hands him his keys and says, "No, my car's fine, but yours is stuck over there." The one I love is the sergeant major growling at the young soldier, "I didn't see you in the camouflage training this morning." "Thank you very much, sir." Folks, the armed forces, and today we're here to remember how precious life is. That's what Jesus is talking about, the wonder of life, and therefore the huge meaning that there is when a person freely gives up their life for others. You know, it amazes me how cheaply children and youngsters of today value life, carrying knives, stabbing each other. It's incredible, isn't it? The Bible tells us that you and I are precious, that each and every one of us is beautiful, and that every life matters, and that on a day like today, that surely shouts to us all the louder. Life is precious, freedom is precious, peace is precious, so much so that men and women across all of history have given their lives to protect it for the next generation. And as I say, today is even more poignant because we celebrate the ending of the First World War 100 years ago today, literally. Today, the 11th of November, 1918, known as the Great War, the first truly global war, centering, of course, around Europe, but fighting, there was Africa, Russia involved, Ottoman Empire, Balkans, Asia. It's devastating, devastating. Wikipedia tells us that of the 60 million European military personnel who were mobilized between 1914 and 1918, 8 million were killed, 7 million permanently disabled, 15 million seriously injured. And of course it was dubbed the war to end all wars, yet we know different today, don't we? As our troops still fight for peace and democracy across the globe. Some good things did come out of all those atrocities of that First World War. Did you know that plastic surgery was pretty much invented during the Great War? Shrapnel, of course, was the cause of many facial injuries in World War One. Unlike the straight line wounds that a bullet would make, shrapnel and the blast would be horrific. One of the medics, Surgeon Harold Gillies, I think his name is, took on the task of helping the victims and pioneered early techniques of facial reconstruction in the process. Blood banks were invented in World War One. An American Army doctor, Captain Oswald Robertson, established the first blood bank on the Western Front, 1917. He used sodium citrate to prevent the blood from coagulating and becoming unusable. Blood was kept on ice for up to 28 days. It was transported to the casualty clearing stations and it was used for life-saving surgery wherever it was needed the most. There were also some very strange stories, I think, that came out of the First World War. Have you ever heard of dazzle ships? Dazzle ships. Literally ships that were painted in vibrant colours to mesmerise the enemy. Stand out like a sore thumb is my guess, but there you are. You try anything in war, don't you? Like the 12-year-old boy who tried to enlist, Sidney Lewis, true story. The tender age of just 12, he lined up with others to join the army. He was sent back home, but many, many underage boys did go and fight on the front lines. Talking of the number 12, did you know 12 million letters were delivered to the front line every week? 12 million letters. There was a sorting office, I think, in Regent's Park, and it only took a letter or parcel 2 days to get to the French trenches. 2 days. The post office struggled to get a Christmas card that Julie and I sent to my mother and father down in Devon in 2 weeks, let alone 2 days to the front lines of France. Come the end of the war, 2 billion letters and 114 million parcels had been delivered around the world. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? Every single person working as hard as they can to bring victory out of desperate situations. But you cannot get away from Wikipedia telling us that in total, around 40 million people died. And there stands Jesus saying, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. He was, of course, just about to do that himself. Jesus knew that he was walking towards his own death in the same way that those who travelled to the Somme or Gallipoli or Verdun or one of the other battle sites knew that they very well might be walking towards their death. And do you know that they all went armed with the same thing, Jesus and all those soldiers? They went armed with the promise of God, eternal life for all who believe. You'll know that when a soldier enlisted for the First World War, predominantly it was a he would be issued with a rifle, a helmet, a copy of the Bible, and a blessing from the chaplain. And there are many stories of men found clinging to their Bibles as they died. Why? Because when all else human fails, we turn back to God, and rightly so. But I loved the story that was told by the BBC this week about Steve Vinell's grandfather, George. George was caught in fighting on the front lines. He was hit by shrapnel. Like many a soldier, George kept his Bible in an inside pocket in his chest, and the shrapnel tore through his jacket, but it lodged itself amongst the pages of the Bible. And actually, it lodged itself at one particular verse in the Bible, Isaiah 49 and verse 8. It saved his life. Wounded and lying on the floor, as the noise of the battle hushed, George took the Bible out that had saved him. And he saw that the shrapnel had stopped at this one particular verse. He removed the shrapnel and he read the verse. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favour, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help. Right there and right then, George felt God say to him, it's out of your control and it's now in the hands of God. By the grace of God, George survived and he went on to become a missionary. Folks, three things very, very quickly that jump out to us from this celebration of those who gave so much. And the first is this, every death, every casualty that we suffered against the evil of what was then called the Central Powers, predominantly Germany, Austria, and the Ottoman Empire, everyone was necessary. When we stood up against the evil of the IRA, or when we protected the freedom of the Falkland Isles, or as we are today, taking on the so-called Islamic State, it is absolutely necessary. Evil has got to be defeated. The whole of Scripture is the story of that defeat, but we have a part to play because evil emanates so freely through humanity. It flows through our greed and our arrogance. It doesn't care if innocent lives suffer. Dr. Martin Luther King said once that good people should develop a dangerous unselfishness. A dangerous unselfishness. Friends, that's what the men and women of this country have done every time they step forward to serve in our armed forces. They know the possible consequences. Jesus knew as he walked towards Jerusalem that he might die right there and right then, but he didn't back down. Why? Because his death was going to bring life to others, no different to our soldiers. We need that dangerous unselfishness in our politics, in our councils, in our schools. You may feel that we're not protecting life here in Dagenham, but our newspapers tell us differently. Young children dying in gangs, domestic abuse spiraling out of control. We need leaders who think of others and fight for others. Children as young as 12 wanted to join the fight for World War I. They had a dangerous unselfishness. What about you and I? What about you and I? Number two is this, that you and I stand today with those who lost loved ones in the Great War and every other war since, where brave men and brave women have stood up for justice and peace. We remember that the men and women who died in that Great War and every other war since died for a higher purpose. You know, that brought real comfort to the families back home. When they learned of their loved one's death, they knew that they had died for a higher purpose. Again, Martin Luther King says this, if a man hasn't discovered something he is willing to die for, he isn't fit to live. I don't even know if we live as if there is a higher purpose anymore, do we? We live in the here and now. We live in our own little world. Without worrying about the bigger world. At St. Chad's, we're trying to do a huge building project so that we can help the residents of Chadwell Heath. To do it, we need to develop a site up in Somerville Road. We have a small hall there, but the community has outgrown it. It's a single space. It's not good enough. It's not big enough. It hasn't got good enough facilities. And we know that we can do much more. If only we can develop that with this, our larger site here, central town, good transport links, good car parking, la-di-da, on it goes. If we develop that land up at Somerville, we'll have the money to provide all sorts of help and support for this town. But people are against us. They don't want their little world to change. Even if it means preventing helping countless others. But that's how we are today. Somehow we need to get the heart that those men and women had. A heart that's willing to sacrifice themselves for others. Why? Because my third point is this. Jesus expects it of us. My command is this. It's a command. It's a command. My command is this. Love one another as I have loved you. And you and I may never have to put our lives on the line. We may never be called to make that ultimate sacrifice as so many have had to make across the years. But I think God expects us all to make a difference in this world. I think Jesus really meant for us to show love to others, even if that costs us something. As Martin Luther King was traveling towards his own death, he knew he was going to be killed. The likelihood is he's going to be killed because of the things he was saying. He was standing up against racism. And people didn't like their little world to change. They loved the power that they had. He knew it. Do you know, he said this as he was walking towards those days, those last days. Like anybody, I would love to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do the will of God. Folks, what is the will of God? I think it's to make this world a better place until Christ comes again. And today we're here to remember men and women who have done just that, giving their lives as Jesus gave his, to bring new life, freedom, peace, justice. And now it's up to you and me, commanded by Christ himself, to carry on that love in whatever way we can, to bring life and freedom and justice to others. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me when Jesus says this? My commandment is this: love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Amen.